Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. Verses 39 to 56, Luke chapter 1. Then looking in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 23, beginning at verse 11, it says, "But the following night the Lord stood by him and said, 'Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome.' And when it was day, some of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under an oath, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. Now there were more than 40 who had formed this conspiracy. They came to the chief priests and elders and said, 'We have bound ourselves under a great oath that we will eat nothing until we have killed Paul. Now you, therefore, together with the council, suggest to the commander that he be brought down to you tomorrow, as though you were going to make further inquiries concerning him. But we are ready to kill him before he comes near.' So when Paul's sister's son heard of their ambush, he went and entered the barracks and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions to him and said, 'Take this young man to the commander, for he has something to tell him.' So he took him and brought him to the commander and said, 'Paul, the prisoner, called me to him and asked me to bring this young man to you. He has something to say to you.' Then the commander took him by the hand, went aside, and asked privately, 'What is it that you have to tell me?' And he said, 'The Jews have agreed to ask that you bring Paul down to the council tomorrow,' as though they were going to inquire more fully about him. 'But do not yield to them, for more than 40 of them lie in wait for him, men who have bound themselves by an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now they are ready, waiting for the promise from you.' So the commander let the young man depart and commanded him, 'Tell no one that you have revealed these things to me.'" That was verses 11 through 22, Acts chapter 23. Father, we thank you for the opportunity for us to read your word every day and draw on the wisdom, the insight, the teaching, the understanding that comes from reading and studying your word. Father, we thank you in a special way for the young individuals that you use in each of these passages. We think of Mary, a young teenage girl who was the mother of the Messiah. We think of John the Baptist, a baby in the womb who leaped for joy and worshiped you from the womb. We think of Mary as she took time to worship you because you had selected her for such a blessed calling and opportunity to serve you. And we think of this young man, even Paul's nephew, who you used to help save the great apostle Paul's life a young boy who helped to save his life. Thank you, Lord, for how that you use young people every day. Help us as the church to be wise enough to put our youth to work for your kingdom. Just as you used young people and children and youth many, many years ago, you continue to use them in your church. Help us as the church to make it the priority you want us to help our children come to know you, help them to begin to grow up and become disciples, and help us to be wise enough to let them go forth and use their gifts and their strengths to serve you, to glorify you, to live their lives for your glory, for the building of your kingdom and the tearing down of the kingdom of darkness. Thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time.
Father, we come to praise you and to lift high your name today. What a big God you are. God, we thank you for loving us. We pray, Father, for the parents and the grandparents of these precious children. God, that you would give them wisdom as they lead and guide. And we just depend on you, Father, to do a mighty work in the grandparents, the parents, and in these children. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. A continued reminder, please take time to go to visit the AFA Resource Center. Go to resources.afa.net. Again, that's resources.afa.net. Visit the AFA Resource Center and you'll find lots of features, books, tools to help equip you to become kingdom warriors and disciples of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Stop by and pick up some of the great resources found there and join thousands of others in helping to share the gospel in our world and to help transform our culture. Again, go to resources.afa.net. We continue to remind you about or invite you to pray for both the young people that have gotten involved with the Ten Commandments Project, and we're encouraging you to prayerfully consider starting such a project in your home or in your church or in your community as well. It's a great tool to help us aggressively disciple our children and help them to begin to grow and grow strong in the Lord. And if you've been listening, you know that we've shared a number of the powerful speeches shared by a number of the young people that have been a part of this project. And we're honored to have once again with us Isis Walker. Isis is 15 years old. She's in high school, and she's with us today. She's going to share her speech with us at this time. Isis, go right ahead.
I would like to draw your attention to scriptures, and they're coming from Psalms 24, verses 7 through 10, and they say, and I quote, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is this King of glory." Salah, unquote. Today I have chosen to speak about the sixth commandment, thou shalt not murder. But first, I would like to give a brief recap on what the Ten Commandments are. The Ten Commandments, according to the Bible, are biblical rules that state the basic religion and moral idea of Judaism and Christianity. The Ten Commandments, according to the Bible, were given from God to the Israelites' leader, Moses, on Mount Sinai. The Ten Commandments were written on tablets by God for the Israelites. But as Moses came down from the mountains, he was in shock and utter disbelief that the Israelites were worshiping a golden calf. Enraged at idol worship, Moses then smashed the tablets. But at God's command, he carved the commandments into other stone tablets. The Israelites then kept it in a wooden ark. However, the Christian teachers believe God has stamped the commandments on the heart, minds, and soul of all human beings. So remember what thus saith the Lord. The Ten Commandments appear twice in the Old Testament in Exodus 20, verses 1 through 17, and Deuteronomy 5, verses 6 through 21. The two versions differ slightly in grammar, but the message is still the same. The first group of the commandments deal with duties towards God, and the second group concern relations among persons. I have chosen to speak about the sixth commandment, thou shalt not murder, because to me, it takes one out of life. And God wants us to live and prosper in this world. Thou shalt not murder is in reference to taking of an innocent life, not in reference to eating food. Even animals killed to eat and are killed to be eaten. This is just one of God's many desires. Thou shalt not murder is one of the Ten Commandments that God has given us to obey. It was intended to stress the fact that life is sacred, that God alone gives life, and that no individual has the right to arbitrarily take it from another person. The commandment refers to premeditated, unjustified killing. What does unjustified mean? It means not shown to be right or reasonable. It means the taking of an innocent person's life. The Ten Commandments, you know, God has ordered righteous judgment on people whose corruption had led to extreme wickedness. God yet does not give man the right to take the law in his hand. In my conclusion, I believe that if we as people will follow the rules set by God, we will not have all the murder, especially in our youth. Youth today needs more encouragement from their parents, teachers, and society. I have been told it takes a village to raise a child. Parents need to get their basic instructions from the Word of God. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Isis, again, a powerful and a beautiful speech. Thank you so much again for sharing. Just a couple of questions Isis would like to ask you. Now, again, Isis, tell me again, what grade did you say you'll be going into this year?
Going to 10th grade.
10th grade. Okay. And you're 15 years old, correct?
Correct.
All right. I want to ask you this. If someone was to ask you, why is reading the Bible every day important, how would you respond to that question?
I believe it's important because in 2 Timothy, it states, 2 Timothy 2 and 15 states, study to show thyself approval unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly divided the world of truth. I believe that what God is saying is that God's will is for it's just my life, that it's important for people to understand what's going on. The Bible.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. And one more question too. If one of your peers was to say to you, Isis, why do I need to get saved? How would you respond to that question?
I believe it's important for everybody to be saved because you would want to go to heaven and not hell. People say that it's hot now, and now just imagine how hot it will be in hell. And it gets even worse because now you got to stay there for eternity. At least here, it passed by.
That's right. Great, great wisdom, Isis. Thank you so much. And again, thank you for coming on again and sharing your speech, a powerful speech. And I hope that many, both young people your age will hear it, but many adults as well. And of course, lots of people are going to hear it on this broadcast, obviously, as well. But again, glad that you were able to come on and share it. And we're coming up on a break, but on the other side of the break, we're going to talk to your granddad, who is a pastor, Pastor Moses Walker, about some ways he's kind of put you to work as well. Father, we thank you for Isis, and we thank you once again for all the young people that have been a part of this project. And we thank you, Lord, for young people all over our communities, our nation, our world that know you and that are living for you. Father, we ask that you, by the power of your Spirit, set our young people, Isis and others, on fire with you so that more and more they will be bright, shining, bold witnesses for you in their schools, in society, and in the world. More and more stir our youth and our children to seek to be vessels through which your Holy Spirit can do mighty exploits for the building of your kingdom, the spread of the gospel, and the lifting up of the name of Jesus. Thank you for Isis and many others, Lord, that you're using today in so many glorious ways. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, as today we're looking at the topic, training and encouraging our children and youth to be kingdom warriors. We'll be right back.
my life and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? In his presence I find safety, just knowing he's near brings joy in my sadness, peace in the time of storm, yeah. Brings hope when I'm hopeless, yeah. Protects me from my heart.
Music from the Walls Group. All praise goes to you. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Again, today we're looking at the topic, training and encouraging our children and youth to be kingdom warriors. And our phone guests at this time are Isis Walker and her grandfather, who happens to be a pastor, Pastor Moses Walker. Pastor Walker, how are you this morning?
I'm doing absolutely fine.
Great, great. And of course, I know you're probably with your chest out there, proud of that precious granddaughter who just shared a powerful and great speech, very encouraging speech. Thank you again for you and she joining us today. As we start, Pastor Walker, I'm going to ask if you'll tell us a little bit about yourself and the church that you pastor.
Well, I am Pastor Moses Walker, Jr. I am a very retired person right now. I'm about 41 years of teaching young people in school. Mm-hmm. I'm the pastor of New Beginning Fellowship Ministry here in the city of Memphis, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. The location is at 4770 Cromwell Avenue. We started this ministry about 20 years ago, and God has tremendously blessed us through all of the things that we've suffered and gone through. The only way we could get through was to go through, and God brought us through.
Amen.
I'm just so thankful today for this broadcast and thankful for our granddaughter. She did a marvelous job. And we're in the business of training. I spent many years training students, and I've seen some mighty successes for many of them who have come through my classes. Mm-hmm. But I also want to spend even more time in the church, mm-hmm. training our young people how to love God and how to live. That is so vitally important in our day and time now, seeing the things that are transpiring with our young people. Mm.
Yes, sir. You're so right, Pastor Walker. And we, again, appreciate, again, you all being with us on the broadcast today. I did want to ask you specifically, though, again, we appreciate Isis being one of the good number of students that have plugged into the Ten Commandments Project. Why did you want, after you learned about the project, why did you want your granddaughter to get involved with the Ten Commandments Project?
Well, Pastor, I'm going to tell you this. I want her involved in everything possible that bespeaks who God is. Mm-hmm. When I heard about this project, it was a goal from the very inception of it. I wanted her to be a part of it because our young people are very energetic, mm-hmm. and they're just full of ambition and hope. Mm-hmm. They are a gift from God and gifted by God to do great works for the Lord and great works for the kingdom. Mm-hmm. I want to get them involved in this so that they'll know what kingdom work not only feel like, but mm-hmm. what it looks like. Mm-hmm. So many times they're so shy about speaking, about singing, about doing anything for God. But they are ready to do whatever it is that they want them to do outside of God. Hmm. So since they have all of this energy, let's channel that energy toward them working in the kingdom.
That's right.
So I keep encouraging her and keep encouraging my grandson hey, there's greater things to do. Mm-hmm. There's more work to be done. So let's get to it, guys.
Amen. Amen. Now, my understanding is you had her to share her speech in church this past Sunday. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Tell us how that happened and where it happened in the service.
It happened it actually happened before I brought the word.
Mm-hmm.
After we had gone through the morning service, and when we opened up the worship service before I brought the message, I let everybody know that she was going to come and share her speech with them, that she shared with the broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that was so vitally important to get her in first, because mm-hmm. I could follow her up with the word to help strengthen the message that she had just given.
Mm. So your church had two sermons this past Sunday. Praise the Lord. So that's good. That's good.
Yes, sir.
Well, and
yeah,
so
two rich services.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir. And so now I think I understood also you have in mind for her to share it again. Share with us about that as well.
Yes, sir. We're gonna have her to share it for the rest of this month, and we're working on some of the other commandments. Hmm. The right speech on those, and some other things that she can speak on as well. Hmm. I want the young people to know that they are a part of this ministry.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to know that one day I'm going to have to pass the baton, and I want them to be ready, mm-hmm. willing, and able to carry this ministry on in my absence. So,
Amen.
Yes, we're going to share it again. We're going to share some other speeches. We're going to do some other things to get our young people involved, because if we can pull them away from Satan, that's a child saved plus a soul.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, Pastor Walker, I appreciate that so much that you shared that wisdom on your part. And, you know, something we've been doing, and my goal is to encourage every young person that was a part of the Ten Commandments speech project to do just that, to ask their pastor if he would allow him or her to share their speech during Sunday morning service and or during Sunday school and or during Bible study. Because number one, again, they're going to bless and encourage every listener. And something that's very powerful for me to consider too is that when you see a young person, especially in a church setting, they stand before a congregation and courageously share a speech, a testimony, read scripture, often you'll find that other young people are mesmerized. They're just captured at just seeing this young person standing up, courageously doing something for the kingdom. And so again,
right.
Obviously they inspire other young people, but at the same time, young people inspire adults as well.
So true. So true. And that's very important. Even adults many times are hesitant about speaking in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, to stand before an audience, it is frightening.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I preach, I'm nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Not nervous of the people that I'm speaking to,
mm-hmm.
but I'm nervous because I'm handling the word of God.
Amen.
And I don't want to handle his word wrong.
Amen.
I want to make sure that the words out of my mouth and the meditation of my heart is acceptable unto God and then unto the people who are hearing us.
Mm-hmm.
With our young people, they can do it. They have so much energy. They have so much. They are so gifted from God.
That's right.
And then Solomon tells us to train them up in
mm-hmm.
the way that they should go. And when they're old, they won't depart from it.
Mm.
But I even remember the preacher when God said to his people, he said, teach them when they get up.
Mm-hmm.
Teach them through the day. And then teach them before they go to bed at night. This word needs to be in all of us. And if our audience, our world can see it in our children,
mm-hmm.
I'm like you. I believe they'll be more inspired to get up and to do something for the Lord themselves.
Mm.
It's all about reaching the lost souls and reaching those who are saved as well,
mm-hmm.
because they need encouragement. They
so
need
true.
Inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
They need guidance. And who knows, a little child just might be the one to lead them.
That's right. You are so right, Pastor Walker. Would you specifically take time to pray for churches to really be wise, pray for young people and pray for churches to really be wise enough to put them to work as God is calling them to do so?
Amen. Will do. Father, in the name of Jesus, how we thank you today for the opportunity to come before your presence. We thank you for this day that you have blessed us to see. It wasn't promised to us, but God, because of your mercy that's renewed every morning, we are here. And God, we bring our children before the throne of grace. We bring our parents. We bring our leaders before the throne of grace. God, I pray this morning that you would touch the hearts and the minds and the souls of every individual listening, every pastor, every lay pastor, every assistant pastor, that God will begin to teach, train, and lead our young people in the way of righteousness. We know that your word said, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. And God, we stand on your word today. Please touch the hearts of ministers, that they may involve their children in the services of the Lord. Jesus said unto us, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. So God, help us in our efforts day by day to continue to speak to the hearts and the minds of our youth. Continue to encourage them. Continue to inspire them. And help us to be that light that shines in darkness, where they can see us and they can follow our lead as we follow you. So God, bless in every church. Bless in every ministry, that our children will become more involved.
Yes.
And that we, as men and women of God, we as adults in this race, will allow them to have part in the service because they are a part.
Yes.
You created them in your image, and you gifted them, and you gave them abilities. They have talents that we haven't even touched on yet. But open our mind, open our understanding, and open our hearts, that we'll make them a vital part of everything in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Walker. And I'm going to ask if you and Isis can remain with us for a little bit. We're going to listen to a couple more speeches from other young folks that were involved in the project as well.
Okay, we do.
Okay.
My name is Amaya Anderson, and today I will be reading my Ten Commandments poem. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I chose to talk about this commandment because a lot of people don't put or have God first in their lives. They worship materialistic things and people. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, God says, you shouldn't have no other gods before me. God should always be our first priority every day. No other God can save us the way he can. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says we should seek God first and all these things should be given to us. When we learn to put God first, he will take care of us. Exodus chapter 34, verse 13 said that God is a jealous God and only him shall we serve. It hurts him when we put people and things before him. He wants to be loved, honored, worshiped, and praised. Besides him, there should be no other.
All right, again, a beautiful speech by a young man by the name of Ahmad. And again, one of the great privileges I've had is as I've had a chance to listen to so many of the speeches by the young people, I think we've ended up with around 25 speeches by different young people, varying quite a bit in age. The youngest was about six years of age, and the oldest was, I think, 18, so quite a spread there. We're going to go ahead and listen to one more speech before the next break.
Hi, my name is Quazeric Anderson, and this is going to be my Ten Commandments project paper. I chose the commandment, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. This commandment is very important because God worked 6 days, and on the Sabbath he rested. Sunday is considered the Sabbath to me. It's the seventh day, and that means God rested that day. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 10 states that we should keep the Sabbath day holy. A lot of people feel that Sunday is just a regular day, but it's not. It's a day that we should come together as saints to give God all the praise and worship he deserves. I think we should declare this day as a holiday. Sunday should be kept holy because God's word says so. God is worthy of all our praises. Therefore, he should have the day he set aside to rest. All praises, glory, and honor belongs to God. We must remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, because this is pleasing unto the Lord.
Amen. Again, every single speech, as I mentioned, has been powerful and encouraging. Pastor Walker, any thoughts that come to mind right offhand that you'd like to share about what you've heard so far?
Well, what I've heard so far has been so good. I'm encouraged even myself by the speeches of these young people. And I think that we should just really just push forward, just continue to push forward. And keep them encouraged to keep doing what they're doing. Beautiful speech.
Amen. And, you know, again, I think it's so important for us to be reminded that as we as the church, the people of God, are wise enough to put our children to work for God's kingdom, that's what they're for, as opposed to we see the devil trying to put them to work for the kingdom of darkness, which leads to death and destruction. We don't want that for our children. So there's nothing that our children need more than Jesus Christ. So praise God for that opportunity. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking at the topic today, training and encouraging our children and youth to be kingdom warriors. We'll be right back. Music of Toby Mac with It's You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking today at the topic of training and encouraging our children and youth to be kingdom warriors. And our phone guests today have been Isis Walker and Pastor Moses Walker. And we've been listening to speeches by some of our young people that have been a part of the Ten Commandments Project. We're going to take time to listen to some speeches now from some of the youngest amongst our participants. The youngest participant was, I believe, 6 years of age. And I think we're actually going to listen to the first one by a 6-year-old, second by the 7-year-old, and the third one by an 8-year-old. So we're going to listen to those speeches at this time.
Commandment number 8 is do not steal. And that means that you do not make people you do not take something that someone else is playing with, or you don't be rude to them. And I like what it means, because I don't want that to happen to me. So
the commandment that means the most to me is honor your mother and father. It is important to honor your parents because it is pleasing to God. We have to listen to and obey them. We cannot be ugly or rude to them, because that will not make God happy. We want to make sure that everything we do is pleasing to God. We have to do what we are told, even when we don't want to. This is important because we want to make it to heaven. I will always do my best to honor my mama and my dad. I will even listen to other grown-ups as well.
Commandment number 6. You shall not murder. Deuteronomy 5:17. You shall not murder. Exodus 20:13. One of the most terrible social ills throughout history has been murder, lawlessness, and violence that surrounds murder. God gave this commandment to govern civilizations and make communities, streets, homes, and businesses safe and secure. Who is to keep this commandment? All of us is the answer. The purpose for this commandment is to preserve life, teach people the sanctity of human life, and hold human life in the highest esteem. Because man is created in the image and likeness of God, man's life is of infinite value to God. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have domination over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. Genesis 1:26-27. And he answered and said to them, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female?" Matthew 19:4. He created them male and female, blessed them, and called them mankind in the day they were created. 3. Surely, for your lifeblood, I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of man. From the hand of every man's brother I will require the life of man. Whosoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. And as for you, be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it. Genesis 9:5-7. The Hebrew word for kill means premeditated, planned, deliberate, intentional, or unauthorized murder. This commandment forbids the taking of a life because a person is angry, stealing, bitter, rebelling, violent, selfish. Lawlessness, violence, and murder must be stamped out. We will have a satisfying, fruitful life only if we are obedient to this command. We must uphold the sanctity of life for the born and the unborn. Jesus Christ loves and cares for us. He helps us conquer and overcome whatever problems we face, regardless how terrible. As we are obedient to him, he gives us his wisdom and shows us how to conquer the problem. For in that himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them who are tempted. Hebrews 2:18. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:15-16. What we leave behind when we go to heaven is our influence. All of us must maintain a Christ-honoring influence to the glory of God. We can and must destroy the lives of the enemy in our lives. We must demonstrate our love of the Lord by our obedience. Let us love one another. God bless all. In his love, Kate Boyd, Sherman, Texas.
Amen. So those last three young ladies were Audrey, Autumn, and Kate. And I think Audrey is 6, Autumn is 7 and Kate is 8 years old. So we had 4 lady preachers on today and 2 preaching young men as well, along with Pastor Moses Walker with us on the broadcast today. Pastor Walker, any thoughts that come to mind before we end our time today?
Pastor, I am just floored with the abilities and gifts of these children. That was absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. And hearing each and every pastor out need to get their children involved in the Lord.
That's right.
This is so inspirational and so encouraging to hear these babies out of the mouths of babies in suffering. God is going to get them great. And they can do it, I know
we can. Amen. Pastor Walker, would you pray one more prayer specifically for the church to really understand the need for us to mobilize and become so much more aggressive in doing discipleship with adults and with our young people as well?
Yes, sir. Father, in the name of Jesus, even now as we come again to this moment, expecting and receiving your mercy, I pray, God, that every church extension, every house of worship, every pastor would now, God, come to you and come to you in humility and use our children for your glory and for your praise. I pray, God, that you would touch our hearts and touch our minds, that the Holy Spirit would lead and guide us in the way that we should go with our children. Our children is your heritage, and we thank you for them. So, God, even now as we pray, even now as we listen to our babies, God, touch right now in the name of Jesus and lead us forth in this war against sin, against the devil, and against his enemies. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Thank God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Walker. And, you know, I think of this, Pastor Walker, as well. You know, going back to some of the, a couple of the Bible passages that we looked at, well, you know, the first passage in Luke chapter 1, of course, Mary was, scholars say she was between 12 and 15 years of age. And, of course, God used her to do one of the most wonderful tasks in all of history, help bring the Messiah to the world. And, again, she's basically a child. But God was able to use her wonderfully to do that work. But also, even, again, a baby in the womb, John the Baptist worshiped God in his mother's womb. Why? The Holy Spirit was working on him even then. So how much more can we realize our job is to put our children to work at every age for God's glory? Even the story in the book of Acts as well, an interesting story that you may not really hear many sermons about. But again, this is Paul's sister's son, Paul's nephew. He overhears a plot to murder, have Paul murdered. And God uses this little boy. Now, one of the reasons why, it doesn't say his age. It says he's young. But one of the reasons why you think he's actually a very small boy is because when the centurion is told by Paul that his nephew had told him about the plot, it says the centurion took him by the hand. Now, typically, you don't take an almost grown man to do that. But it's typically a small child that you take by the hand. He takes the child aside, and the little boy lets him know, these guys have plotted to kill my Uncle Paul. Don't do what they're telling him. So even a small child can be used wonderfully by God as we simply put them to work for God's kingdom. So, again, we praise God for every single young person that's been able to share. And our time is just about gone, Pastor Walker. Any final words before we end our time today?
I really enjoy those scriptures that you just brought forth. If God can use a child's little snack pack, and that's those 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, and feed over 5,000, just think what he can do without.
That's right. That's right. Father, again, we thank you for every young person that was a part of the Ten Commandments Project. And thank you, Lord, for the many young people who, though they may not have been a part of this project, that others who are listening, thank you for the projects they will take on in their local churches and in their communities to help mobilize their young people, whether it be a Ten Commandments project like this one or another one where they're helping kids memorize the word, learn the word, read the word, but help us to be about your business in discipling these precious children you've entrusted to us. In Jesus' name, amen. As usual, as we conclude our time, if there's someone listening who's never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to invite you to make that all-important step of asking Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior. Today is a great day to be saved, to commit your life to the Lord so that He can come into your heart and make you brand new. If you want to make that step, I invite you to simply pray this prayer with me to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior and be saved. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent and turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrongs I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer for the first time today, I invite you to email us. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd like to share with you some literature that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your walk with the Lord. Prayer literature that will help you to become the disciple and follower of Christ that you need to be. Again, email us at jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to send that and share that with you as well. Pastor Walker and Isis, thank you so much for being with us once again today.
And thank you for having us.
Yes, sir.
God bless you.
Hey, God bless you and keep up the great work. Thank you for being a part of our listening family. Please continue to pray much for all the young people that have been a part of this project, but also pray about what the Lord would have you to do, whether it's taking this project and putting it to work in your church or your community, or doing something similar. But let's be about our Father's business in discipling our precious children so that they can work for the wonderful kingdom of God. Hope you'll do that. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.